गुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयं श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा सो कृष्ण आफ्टर् स्पीकिङ्ग् अबौट् द डिफ्रेण्ट् टैप्स् आफ् भक्तास् सेयिङ्ग् दट् भक्तास् आर् आफ् फोर् टैप्स् चतुर्विधा भजन्ते मां जुनाः सुकृतिनोर्जुन आर्तो जिज्ञासुरर्थार्थी ज्ञानी च भरतर्षभ. देर् आर् फोर् टैप्स् आफ् भक्तास् एण्ड् आल् आफ् दम् सुकृतिनो अर्जुन आल् आफ् दम् हेव् डन् सम् आर् अदर् गुड् डीड्स् दे हेव् डन् लाट् आफ् गुड् डीड्स् बिकास् एल्स् दे विल् नाट् ईवन् सीक् ईश्वर एण्ड् आफ् दोस् फोर् टैप्स् आफ् भक्तास् आर्तः सो फस्ट् इस् आर्तः द फस्ट् ता देर् So it, those are people who want to get rid of worldly suffering. And then artha arti, people who want artha arti. So people who want artha are possession. And the third are jijnyasus, people who want to get knowledge about Ishvara. And then the fourth are jnanis, people who abide in Ishvara, people who are realized each and every minute of their life, who are abiding as Ishvara, as Brahman. So after that, Krishna said that all desires in the world, whether a person knows or not, are ordained by Ishvara. And though there are rules, but still it is ordained or controlled by Ishvara. So in a football game or in a soccer game, the manager is the person, like manager or coach, is the person who controls as to how people are going to play. So what is going to be the starting lineup? What is going to be the formation? Is it like 4-4-2 or two forwards? Or is it just one forward? Is it going to be defensive play or offensive play? So all those will be determined or ordained by the manager, but still the players, there are rules that the manager ordains, like our manager controls everything, but still, and there are rules in the game. So the players, like as per what the players do, that controls the match. So ultimately everything is controlled by the manager, but still the players do. There is a rule in the game. Inside the game there is a rule, though everything that a team or whatever the team plays, that is controlled by the manager, but still there are rules set in the games. So similarly, Ishvara ordains all, like whatever is there in the entire world, whatever desires are fulfilled, whether it is worldly or spiritual, everything is ordained by Ishvara, but still there are rules in the world which are like applicable. And one of the main rule, one of the main factor is Shraddha, or focus, sticking on to the goal, how strong the desire is. So that, like when a person tries to get more desire, like he wants to be more convinced and focused on the goal, Ishvara is the one who ordains that, or gives that Shraddha. If Ishvara ordains everything, then what is the problem in life? There is no problem in life if everything is controlled by Ishvara. That's where the rules are set in the world. So, and there is a tap. So, there is a tap from which, like water comes out of the tap. So, the capacity of the tap is infinite. Of course, like we can assume that the tap is connected to the ocean or river. So, it has infinite capacity. But still, if we have a small pot, then we'll not be able to benefit out of the infinite capacity of the pot. So though the pot has infinite capability, but still water, like the amount of water that we get depends on the capacity of the pot or the vessel that we are using to collect water. Similarly, though everything is ordained by Ishvara, the body, mind, intellect are the pot or the adjuncts of that we have, adjuncts of body, mind and intellect. Those adjuncts, they determine as to how much we are able to apprehend, like how much bliss from Ishvara we are able to apprehend. So that's why each and every object in the world has happiness in it. So that happiness, the difference between that happiness and happiness of Ishvara is that Ishvara's happiness gets limited by the object. The object is limited in time, limited in space. So therefore, Ishvara's happiness also gets limited. So that's why Krishna said, Antavattu falam tesham tad bhavatyalpamedasam. People who seek worldly goals, who want to fulfill their worldly desires, such people, since their the adjuncts are limited, therefore the happiness they get also will be limited, which means the phalam is limited. So that is the case. How can I become unlimited? Unlimited, very easy to become unlimited. It is just expanding the mind. So the mind, which is limited, the mind thinks about only certain things. It doesn't think about the entire world. It thinks about certain things. So expand the mind. Expand the mind by remembering that Mattap paradaram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. There is nothing different from me here. So that means everything is Ishvara. So the moment a person sees everything as Ishvara, the mind has expanded already. Already the mind has expanded. Because initially the mind perceives certain objects. Some objects, it has some emotions towards certain people, others it ignores. But when the mind sees Ishvara everywhere, that is expansion of the mind. The mind becomes unlimited there. So when the mind becomes unlimited by perceiving unlimited Ishvara, how can we perceive unlimited Ishvara? By seeing oneness everywhere. By seeing Ishvara everywhere, that is pervasiveness, or perceiving unlimited Ishvara. When the mind perceives unlimited Ishvara, of course, don't ask the question, can the mind perceive unlimited Ishvara? Don't the Shastra say, Mano Vacha Magochara? The mind which sees oneness everywhere, there is no mind there. When the mind sees everything as Ishvara, mind itself is samshayam, sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha. Mind is sankalpam and vikalpam, that means thoughts, doubtful thoughts, that is the mind. So when there are no thoughts, like everything becomes one. If everything is one, then where can be many there? There is no many. If there is no many, then there is no mind at all. Antakarnam vanishes, antakarnam becomes pure and as if it doesn't exist. So that is the state, like that is going beyond the mind, through the mind. So even as a person, like a long jump, high jumper or even a long jumper, they both use a stick, big stick, and then like with the help of the stick, they cross over and then they throw the stick as well. Similarly, the mind, through the mind we can realize Ishvara. The mind, when it becomes, when it expands and when it becomes unlimited, when it perceives unlimited Ishvara through viewing oneness, the mind ceases to exist there and thereby it apprehends Ishvara. Unlimited phalam is achieved. Devan deva yajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. So there, like if worldly goals are sought out, then the fruit also will be worldly or limited. Whereas if Ishvara is sought out, then the fruit or phalam will be Shashvatam, Shashvata Nivasa or Shashvata Niketa. I don't remember now. Some song, Amma song is there. So Shashvatam, the phalam will be Shashvatam and phalam will be eternal as well. So in that case, don't ask the question again. After realization, the mind doesn't exist. Then how can actions happen? Actions can still happen. So it is the mental level, at the mind level, it is splitting the mind into two. So one part of the mind which perceives external objects and one part of the mind like which is internal. So it's like we can consider it as a step up or step down transformer. So the input is the same, but output will be varying, output will be different. It is just one entity, so how can output be different? Because internally it does some functions. So the mind perceives objects and then like whatever is required externally to do, the output externally also remains the same, but internally in the mind there is the thought that everything is Ishvara. So externally actions happen, but internally, like, the mind gets some request, oh, somebody is coming, the mind says my friend, so that goes back again. But that my friend, along with the thought of my friend, there is another thought which is running. There's a parallel processing is happening that there is only Ishvara here, everything is Ishvara. And that presides over this thought. So this thought of my friend, that is communicated back. But at the same time, in the mind, the thought of everything is Ishvara also presides. So external actions are possible. So after that, Krishna also spoke about why many people are not realizing the self. So that goes back to again the 14th shloka of Devi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. So my maya is very tough to cross over. Most of the people in the world are deluded by maya, and thereby they don't know me. So crossing over maya is as simple as seeking Ishvara. Seeking Ishvara means moving from artharthi to jijnyasu, and then striving to be a jnani. So the moment a bhakta moves from artharthi to jijnyasu, he can also seek like worldly artha and arthati. He can be partial artha and arthati, but his main goal will be, if Ishvara says, okay, I can only fulfill one desire. Oh, only one desire, then I have to have like 5 children. So that's not a true jijnyasu. Might have artha and artha. He might have like desires for removal of suffering or possessions as well, but still the highest desire will be jijnyasa, or I want knowledge. So the ultimate goal in his mind at all times will be that I want to be a jnani. And such a bhakta crosses over maya and realizes Ishvara. So finally, Krishna, in the next 2 shlokas which we'll discuss today, the 27th shloka and the 28th shloka, speaks about, with respect to Ishvara, there are only 2 people. So with respect to Ishvara, there are only 2 people. So it's like telling, okay, with respect to me, there are only 2 people. One, who know me. 2, one who don't know me. One who seek me, one who don't seek me. So that is what Krishna says here in the next 2 shlokas. The next shlokas, 27th shloka, Krishna speaks about people who don't seek Ishvara, who ignore Ishvara, and what will happen to such people. And in the 28th shloka, he speaks about people who seek me, who are able to seek me. And that continues into the 29th shloka as well. So it is like, this is also called something called as trying to speak about what is going to happen, phalam, or arthavadam. It's also called as arthavadam in some cases. That means like it is kind of just scaring statement or warning statement. It may not happen, but it will happen. That many cases, like many people like Paramartha and others, in many phalashrutis, they say that it is just arthavadam, it is of no sense. But it's not like those phalashrutis, many phalashrutis, like even Gita phalashruti and all, are not arthavadam. A person who really follows whatever Krishna says, such a person will get what Krishna says. Exactly what is said will happen. So that is, if things are to be considered arthavadam, then everything will become arthavadam. Will be nothing which is valuable. I have nothing against Paramartha, like he is a Jivan Mukta. There is nothing to speak against Paramartha, but we can't like ignore statements as just arthavadam. So many Advaitins, even the 6th chapter, 1st shloka, where Krishna says that a true sannyasi is a person who is an internal sannyasi, who renounces actions internally and not external renunciation. So there, many people consider that as arthavadam. So there is no arthavadam there, that's true. There are many sannyasis. So when one of the Shankaracharya, like the Jyotirmat Shankaracharya, he had his samadhi, then there was like fight. Even like that, the fight also went to court between like two of his disciples and followers, that they are the successor to Shankaracharya. So Shankaracharya, the the role of Shankaracharya, the Peetam, Adhipati or Adhipam, that itself became an issue. Like we see, like couple of two children fighting over each other, Mukesh Ambani, Anil Ambani. That was one of the biggest, what to say, whatever came out in press. Things like that often happen. Like internally, people argue, like children of the same father, they argue that I want, I want. So the same thing happened even with sannyasis. And sannyasis, if normal sannyasis, it's fine. They were disciples of Shankaracharya. They are going to be future Shankaracharyas. That is the state of affairs in the world. So real sannyasam is internal. That's why Krishna says, as real sannyasam, he is sanitya sannyasi yona dveshti na shochati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukam bandha pramuchyate. A true sannyasi is like one who doesn't have dvandva bhavam, one who doesn't get angry, one who doesn't get attached internally. His mind is ever calm. Such a person is a nitya sannyasi, ever sannyasi. He like now external sannyasis are sannyasis who become sannyasi on a particular day. So after that they are sannyasis. But here it's a nitya sannyasi, he is ever sannyasi. He is eternal renunciate. That's what Krishna says. So there is no attavadam here. So the 27th shloka Krishna says, Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sargeyanti parantapa. So these two shlokas, it is good to understand them very well, because that will be where, like, now is the time to decide as to who we want to be. He said that whatever Krishna says in the 27th shloka, do we want ignore Ishvara or do we accept Ishvara? So ignoring Ishvara, Iccha Dvesha Samutthena. So such a person, like a person has Iccha Dvesham. So Iccha means attachment, we can say here. Dvesham, so Dvesham means anger. So Iccha Dvesha Samuttam. So he has Iccha and Dvesham. So Iccha can be considered as attachment or even desire. So desire and anger he has. Dvandva Mohena. He has Dvandva Moham. He is as like Dvandva Bhavam is there. He is deluded by Dvandvam. He is deluded by duality. He is deluded by whatever duality has to offer him. So it's like those offers you get. So when you go to a store, you'll get, oh, the offer. Oh, get one, like buy one, get one free. So immediately we'll jump, oh, I'm getting an offer. Is that a real offer? No. Unfortunately, they raise the like that, if when we look at the tag, the price will be almost the same. So raise the price and give two free. Okay, I don't know. I might be wrong here as well. So it was just an example. So Dvandva Moham, deluded by the notion of duality, and thereby they have Iccha and Dvesham. So Iccha Dvesham is there, Raga Dvesham is there, Dvandva Bhavam is there. That means Bheda Buddhi is there. So all these are different ways of putting the same thing. So Raga Dvesham itself means Dvandva Bhavam, dual notion is there, which means Bheda Buddhi. They see Bhedam. They are unable to see Abhedam. So they are not able to see Ishvara. So this means that a person might seek Ishvara. That means, oh, I daily sing Bhaja Govindam. There are many people who say, oh, when I was a small kid, I learned Bhaja Govindam. That's left that, that advertisement that goes, oh, that is what I gave you. Jab tum bachchi thi, maine us tumhe yahi diya tha. All those, like, my Hindi is awful. It's a Tamil one. So similarly, I learned, like, I used to learn Bhaja Govindam when I was very young. I used to sing songs at home. I used to do this, I used to do that. All those are fine. Vedanta doesn't say that you should do this, you shouldn't do that. There is nothing, there is no limitation externally. There is no restriction externally. The one condition is, do you remember Ishvara? Oh yeah, yeah, Bhaja Govinda means how can't you remember Ishvara? Like there's Bhaja Govindam itself means I remember Ishvara. Okay, tell me, who is Govinda? Oh, Govinda, that beautiful person, like who wears funky clothes and that dances around, that is Govinda. Unfortunately, that's not the Govinda. Oh, I know, like I was just joking. Govinda is like one who plays the flute and attracts women, and he's in Vaikunta resting with Lakshmi on a good cozy bed. So that is our knowledge of Govinda. So that means there is no Ishvara there. Ishvara means what? Mattat parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Any person who doesn't know this, who doesn't remember that Ishvara alone is present here, Advitiya Satyam alone is present here, whatever else is seen, duality is just Nama Rupam, just Nama Matram, Rupa Matram, just Nama Rupam. So any person who doesn't remember this, who doesn't know Ishvara's nature as Advitiya Satyam, such a person doesn't know Ishvara. If he doesn't know Ishvara, then Ichcha Dvesham is there, Dvandva Moham is there. What will happen out of the Dvandva Moham? After learning for 10 years, after learning the various chapters of Gita, then like argue, go on arguing with an Dvaitin that, okay, Dvaitam is not real, Advaitam is real. And after that, argue with somebody else who doesn't accept Amma. Go on arguing. So there itself, Bhedam comes. So learning, like we are learning a Bhedam, but implementation Bhedam only comes. So that is because a person doesn't remember Ishvara. So Ishvara as Advitiya Satyam, that is very important. It is very important not just remembering Ishvara. So remembering Ishvara, many people do that, but who is that Ishvara? That is important. So like many people might remember George Bush, but it is very important to know who George Bush is. If you don't know who George Bush is, then really bad. It is like surrendering onto Osama bin Laden, right? Oh, the name sounds too cool, therefore I am surrendering to him. So if we don't know, then that's it. The gati will be bad. Similarly, a person who doesn't know Ishvara as Advitiya Satyam, as Mattap Parataram Nanyat Kinchid Asti Dhananjaya. Okay, all these are not my own views. So the Krishna himself has said, Mattap Parataram Nanyat Kinchid Asti Dhananjaya. And that is the only way a person can know like one entity and then everything become known. There's only one way of knowing something with which everything becomes known. The only way is that something or that one thing is a substratum of everything. That one thing is what we see as everything. So everything is just an illusion of names and forms in that one thing. That is the only way. So that is what Krishna also says. So people who don't remember Ishvara as Advitiya Satyam, they will have Dvandva Moham, they will be deluded by Dvandva Bhavam, they will have Ichcha Dvesham, Ragadvesham. And therefore, Sarvabhutani, such people, all the beings who have Dvandva Moham, who have Ragadvesham, who have Bheda Buddhi, who don't remember Ishvara as Advitiya Satyam. So, if it is possible to by heart, mug it up. Mattap Parataram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. Mattaha. Mattaha means than me. Mattaha. Parataram, parataram means different. So different, mattaha, than me, na, no, anyat, anything else, kinchid, not anything at all, not at all, we can say, or kinchid or anything. So anyat kinchit, so other anything, asti, exists, dhananjaya, Arjuna. So matta parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. So if a person doesn't remember that after learning all these Gita sessions, learning for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and then I know the entire 700 shlokas of Gita, but there is no point at all in knowing any of those without remembering that Mattap Paradharam Nanyat Kinchid Asti Dhananjaya. There is nothing different from me here. So there is only Ishvara, I only exist, there is only one entity here. So if we don't remember, most of the beings don't remember, therefore Sarvabhutani, such people, Sammoham, because of Moham, because of their delusion, great delusion, Sargeyanti. Parantapa, O Arjuna, Sargeyanti, Sarge, Sargam means birth and death. So they will get birth and death again. So that is what Shankara says, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. punarapi janani jatare shayanam. So that is what would happen to a person who has dvandva moham, who has ragadvesham, who doesn't remember Ishvara. Such a person will be born and like will take birth, will die. So that will happen again and again. But instead, if a person is able to remember that everything is Ishvara and like able to increase the conviction of the mind to always remember, so that all actions, external actions, all actions are associated internally with this thought of everything is Ishvara, then such a person gets rid of dvandva moham. So the starting to dvandva moham or removal of dvandva moham is, of course, we know. So chittasya shuddhaye karma natu vastu upaladhaye. So chitta shuddhi is first required in order to even seek Ishvara. So seek Ishvara, that means be jijnya. So that is the first step. So yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante maam dridavrataha. So people, yesham, but like whoever else is there, yesham tu antagatam papam jananam. So those beings who antagatam papam, papam whose sins are done, whose sins end by punya karmanam, by doing lot of punya karma. So punya karma here means like nishkama karmam and satsangam. So such people, who have purified their mind initially, so that's where like we have to start with nishkama karmam. So once we start doing nishkama karmam, then like that Ishvara whom we just know as, okay, Ishvara is all pervasive, Ishvara is advitiyam. So the more we try to do nishkama karmam, then dvandva moha nirmukta, such people, dvandva moha nirmukta, those people get rid of dvandva moham. So delusion due to duality, dvandva bhavam vanishes, bheda buddhi vanishes, raga dvesham vanishes. Not externally, but internally. So externally, Amma might shout at someone. So that is fine. Internally, so dvandva mohanar mukta, such people, what do? If they get rid of dvandva moham, then what will happen? Obviously, they can, dvandva moham vanishes by seeking Ishvara. So dvandva moham vanishes automatically. Bhajante maam, such people worship me, such people seek me. Bhajanam. So here bhajanam doesn't mean singing bhajans. Here bhajanam means real seeking. Seeking means trying to always remember Ishvara. So wherever we are, whatever we are doing, trying to remember Ishvara. Why? Dridavrataha. So such people are dridavrataha. So Shankara in his commentary says that such people are dridavrata. Like that is a term given to such people. So dridavrata means like one who there is no chalanam from advitiya satyam. So whatever happens, even like if the entire world collapses, still such a person will remember Ishvara. So even when Jesus was being crucified, so he didn't forget Ishvara, he remembered Ishvara. So many times, like even in Amma's life or many other Mahatma's life, we can find that whenever they face like real trouble, still they'll remember Ishvara without any chalanam. So dridavrataha. So they always renounce dvandva moham. They are devoid of dvandva bhavam and advitiya bhavam or advaita bhavam. They always maintain. So they always remember Ishvara at all times. So that is when this becomes perfect, such a person becomes a jnani. When it doesn't become perfect, such a person is a jijnyasu. That's the only difference. When a person is striving for it, he is a jijnyasu. When he becomes, like when he is able to effortlessly abide in Ishvara, effortlessly implement this, he is a jnani. So here we can consider it as both. Either like jnani or jijnyasu, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, Do we remember Ishvara at least for 1 minute in a day? That is enough. If we remember Ishvara for 1 minute in a day, then slowly that will get catch up on us. Like we will become addicted to it. So we can say that is the pull of Ishvara. So Krishna is supposed to be one of the best flute players. So that doesn't mean that like he is like Hariprasad Chaurasia or Ramani. It's not nothing like that. That's not the meaning there. The meaning is that Krishna is attractive. So even Shiva, who wears like sacred ashes, like ashes, and then who is Bhikaram, but still Shiva is attractive. Amma Kooriruul Pole Karuttirundullaru Bhikararupini Aarana. So Amma is Bhikararupam. It's like black. If there is no light, like we cannot see at all. If Amma smiles, then we can see something. So Amma is dark. And then like Amma's hair, Amma's dress itself is like unattractive, but still she attracts. So Krishna's flute playing means that he attracts. So attraction of Ishvara is more powerful than worldly attractions. Of course, ultimately a person has the choice. So it is up to a person. So those two things, like people who are addicted to smoking is like a stronger attraction for them than anything else, but still they are able to quit. So that means everything is up to us. The ultimate choice is up to us. But for a person who has started in the path, in the spiritual path, in the quest to realize Advitiya Satyam, that means he has become a Jijnyasu, slowly he will cease to be Artha and Artharthi, and slowly the Jijnyasa or the Jnanam will be, the pull of Jnanam will be so strong that he'll not be able to stay away from it. So that's where like many of Amma's disciples, like they felt this the pull of Amma, the attraction of Amma so strong that they were not able to stay away from Amma. So if we find out or read about Purnamrita's life history, so we can find that like once he met Amma, then like he used to go there frequently. And even when Amma sent him away to work, still he cried quite a lot. So he couldn't stay away from Amma. Even though Amrita Swarupananda was a double MA and he was well qualified at that time, like 20, 25 years, 30 years back, to work in US and earn money. Even though Amma said that, okay, you have to earn money for me, you have to earn money for the organization, still he said, no, he cannot stay away from you. So we can also find that in Ramakrishna's disciples like Narendra and others. Narendra was quite young. Most of Ramakrishna Paramahansa's disciples were very young, like they were in their 20s, early 20s or late 20s. And then like still they didn't go after worldly pleasures. They were not able to go after worldly pleasures. So in the Gospel of Ramakrishna Paramahansa, we can find that Narendra meets Ramakrishna Paramahansa, and then he says after that, like, I don't know what is attracting me to this person, but I'm not able to stay away from him. Something is pulling me. I cannot stay away from him. I want to be with him at all times. Like, a couple of days I don't meet him, then like something pulls me and I want to go and meet him. So that is exactly what Sureshwara Acharya also says in Naishkarmya Siddhi, that Jnanam is also an addiction. Once a person gets the taste, the sweet taste of Advaitam, the bliss of the Atman, a glimpse of the bliss of the Atman, then he will not be able to stay away from it for a long period. So that means Jijnyasu is almost the same as Jnanam. There are only two things right in front of us, and at any point of our life, it's not when we are very young, it's not like when we are very old, it doesn't matter. Age or place or time, nothing, there is no restriction. But at any point, we have these two paths ready in front of us. So one is where we forget Ishvara, then we will have to take birth again and again. And the second is we remember Ishvara and we get the ultimate goal of moksha. So Yama, while explaining Vedanta to Nachiketa, he speaks about two margam, two paths. So one is Preyo Margam and the second is Shreyo Margam. So Preyo Margam, so Preyas, the word itself means Priyam. Priyam means like it means a kind of attracting. So one is attracting Margam, so one which appears attractive. And the second is Shreyas, one which will give us eternal bliss. And the same Krishna says in a different way, as that which appears to be nectar is in fact poison, whereas that which appears to be poison in the beginning, that is like nectar. So all the restrictions, limitations that Vedanta puts with respect to following, all this, like, just remembering Ishvara, that is very tough. I think it's like the easier way to get rid of my suffering is to just smoke or drink and then forget everything. That is easier. Yes, it is. Like, the spiritual path is very tough in the beginning, but as Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gives the example, when a tree is very very small, it's a small plant, then like there will be like fence, like we'll put fence around the tree, and that is not because the tree shouldn't grow or it doesn't obstruct the tree's freedom, but that is because like animals will not come and eat it. So once it becomes big, then there is no problem at all. The fence is no longer needed. So Preyo Margam, Shreyo Margam. So prayers, like worldly things, worldly goals or objects might seem appealing, very appealing at times. A job at Microsoft, a very beautiful like wife, like who is a model, very beautiful model, and then like two sweet little kids. So all this might appeal to us, and then maybe like going to one of the beaches or beach place like Florida, or maybe Hawaii or any other place, and settling there. So that's like, that is very appealing. So that appears to be attractive, but those attractions, those worldly attractions, are attractive only in the beginning. Once we start enjoying them, then we will find that the attraction slowly fades off. Not just the attraction fades off, but so think about it, like if we have a partner, like we get married to a beautiful woman, so it is very attractive. We become very all excited. But once we stay with the beautiful wife, like for a 1 year, 2 year, after that the attraction fades. And not just attraction fades, our energy also gets reduced because we have been enjoying. So worldly objects are that way. So laddu might appear to be like really sweet, and we will eat it. So after eating like five laddus, then the attraction vanishes. And then what happens? And then we will have to run to the bathroom. That is what would happen. So attraction, it seems to be the attractive in the beginning, but the attraction fades away. And then it also like weakens us. It takes the energy out of us. So when energy vanishes, then we don't have any more energy to go beyond the mind. Speak of energy, like, energy, come on. After working for 10 hours in office, like, what Vedanta? I cannot listen to anything at all now. What I can do is I can go to sleep now. That is what I can do. And Vedanta also says that is similar to moksha. So that moksha is enough for me. That's what many people will say. So, Preyo Margam, that appears to be really attractive, and it is based on forgetting Ishvara, which means Dvandvam. Dvandva Bhavam is there, delusion into duality is there, Bhedam is there, Ragadvesham is there. And there a person will take birth again and again. Why take birth again and again? So, like, something seems attractive, seek it. Once you seek it, then like you'll find that still the desire is left. Our desire is not fulfilled. Like you marry a wife, beautiful wife, and then like after 2 years, you feel that something is lacking. Oh, she's beautiful, but still something is lacking. And then get divorced and get another wife. This continues, and then like we don't realize that almost 40-50 years gets passed. and then it's time to let go of the body, and at that time still the desire is left, either that desire or some other desire. So that will continue. So next birth we will have to take. So birth, death. So jananam and maranam, jananam, maranam, it will continue. So it is a vicious circle. So punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. So again birth, again death, again getting into the womb of the mother. So this will continue. Iha samsare bahudustare. This samsaram, samsara sagaram is, it's preyo margam. It is very attractive. So it is tough to cross over. But a person who remembers Ishvara, a person who understands Preyo Margam, either he understands Preyo Margam, that it is after many experiences a person understands Preyo Margam, or he understands that there is something much bigger, so higher than Preyo Margam, which is Shreyo Margam, and that is Iha Samsare Bahudustare Kripaya Pare Pahi Murare. By getting the grace of Ishvara, by remembering Ishvara. So that is Shreyo Margam. So these two Margam, like choose which one to choose, is always there in front of us. At any point of time, like we have it ready. Shreyo Margam is there, Preyo Margam is also there. So people who say, oh, I am not fit for Vedanta. Oh, I don't think I am eligible yet. Oh, Brahma Sutra, oh, forget it. Like, I don't have the intellect. Even if I have the intellect, I cannot understand all those. And even if I understand all those, I cannot remember it. I have many other things to remember, therefore I cannot do it. So many people just say, oh, it is not possible. I will drop off. So at any point of time, we have the option, and it's not tough. Like Brahma Sutra or any work is not tough at all. All those speak about the same thing. Any shastra rekam sad vipra bhuda vadanti. One truth is being explained in many ways, expressed in many ways. It's just one truth. It's that truth, that advitiya satyam, that Shankara says as Brahma satyam jagan mitya jivo brahmaiva na paraha. Brahman is the truth, the world is nama rupam, and you are also Brahman, definitely. You are blissful Brahman. So that alone is being explained everywhere. So all the shastras, all the scriptures speak about this thing only. So we don't need to get scared. We don't need to run away. We have to face it someday or the other. Even if we don't learn the scriptures, we have to learn this truth. We have to learn to remember this truth. So if we don't, then we are letting go of the Shreyo Margam, and we will get, like, letting go of the Shreya Marga means, oh, I am a neutral, I don't need prayas or Shreyas. If Shreyas vanishes, then prayas will come. If Ishvara vanishes from our mind, then somebody else will come. Definitely somebody else will come. Like, the mind cannot remain as such without anything. So the mind has to stick on to something. So it is like better, it is good if we catch on or catch hold of Ishvara rather than anything else. So this is available for any person at any point of time. So it just requires like wise people, like as Kathopanishad says, avritta chakshuh amritatvam icchan kaschid dhirah pratyagatmanam aikshad. Avritta chakshuh amritatvam icchan. So few wise people, brave people, dhirah, brave and wise people, they see the Atman, they know the Atman. How? Avratta chakshuhu, they control what the mind sees. Controlling means, whenever the mind sees some object which is different from another object, the mind has to be reminded that everything is Ishvara. Bhedam is just nama rupam. And amritatva michchan, desiring eternal bliss. So desiring moksha. So such a wise person or brave person. So braveness, like, is, we should be brave enough to say, I want Shreyo Margam. Oh, whatever happens, whoever comes in front of me, I am going to choose Shreyo Margam. So many times, like, many people just fall back because of many reasons. They fear one or the other person in the world. Oh, my father. Oh, my mother. Oh, this person. Oh, that person. So we have excuses. So the human mind is used to excuses everywhere. So when we have to do something, then some excuse, some or the other excuse. So we shouldn't do that. History or like the various Puranas speak about many people who have gone beyond all limitations. Markandeya went against none other than Yama. So Markandeya like would have said, "Oh, Yama is coming. I'll let go of the Shivalingam." He didn't say do that. He said, "I am going to stick on to Ishvara." That is what is meant there. If we stick on to Shivalinga, if we stick on to Ishvara as Advitiya Satyam, if we are able to remember that, then even Yama cannot touch us. So even Yama or death cannot touch us. Death or suffering or sorrow that cannot touch us at all. And Prahlada is a good example for the person who, a true seeker who went against, like who set aside his father. So Hiranyakashipu tried all the means in the world to make Prahlada seek him rather than Ishvara. So he tried to make Prahlada forget Ishvara, but Prahlada didn't do that. So Bhagavatam says that Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu thought, okay, I have tried like my own ways, like I have tried telling him like chant my name, he is not listening. So maybe I should take him to the Acharya and like some the Gurukula, and then the Guru should teach him. So he takes him to the Guru Gurukula. The Guru agrees, "Oh, this small kid, no problem at all. Like within one day, he'll become your follower." And the Guru thinks that way. But what happens there? Bhagavatam says that Prahlada starts teaching Vedanta. Like Prahlada starts a mutiny there. And like we should remember that the land was controlled by Hiranyakashipu. Even the Devas used to run hearing his name or seeing him. And in such a place, and in a Gurukula, place owned by the Guru, Prahlada starts a mutiny there. He starts teaching his co-students about Ishvara, which is now famous and popularly known as Dvadasha Lakshanam Atma. So the Atman or the Self with Dvadasha Lakshanam or 12 character qualities of the Atman. We can say 12 ways to describe the Atman. So Prahlada went against his own father and he achieved the goal of eternal bliss. Not only that, he was able to even help out his father. He showed his father the truth that everywhere Ishvara is there. And Mahabali is another example of a person who went against his own guru. So Mahabali gave, like when Vamana comes in front of Mahabali gives him the boon that I will give you 3 feet of land. And then Shukracharya says, "Don't get deluded by this small person, this dwarf. He is in fact Vishnu, so he is going to take everything from you. So don't give the boon." So that is like those are like the various gurus, some gurus in the world who want to stop the progress of the disciple, because if the disciple vanishes, they don't have anybody to take care of them. Or gurus who benefit from the disciple in various forms, emotional support or like financial support, all those. So such gurus, if such gurus are there, we should be bold enough, brave to set aside such a guru like Mahabali did. And Mahabali was given the boon by Ishvara that whenever he remembers Ishvara, whenever he wants to see Ishvara, Ishvara will be readily available. So many other, like we can find Vibhishana going against his own brother. So the Puranas are filled with many stories of people who stood for the truth. So remembering Ishvara, "I want Shreyo Margam. I will not stray. Like I will not choose the Preyo Margam whatever happens. So whatever happens, I will remember you." So externally, if it requires that we shouldn't start a mutiny like Prahlada, so don't try out all those, like that's not good in this current world. It will lead us to more trouble. So we don't have to do it externally. So externally, it's fine. But if the situation comes that externally we have to renounce our parents, boldly do it. Don't even bother at all. Don't think twice. Ishvara is there. Ishvara Chinta. If Advitiya Satyam, we are remembering Advitiya Satyam, then we don't need to think twice about renouncing our parents. Of course, if required. So don't tomorrow renounce Ray to your parents. I am renouncing you. And Hari Ram said it. So don't say all those. If required, if the situation comes that we have to take that step, we can boldly take that. So Prayo Margam, Shreyo Margam, whatever Krishna says here. Janana Maranam or Samsara Sagaram and Moksha, both are available. What determines is Advitiya Satyam. So if we remember Ishvara as all pervasive, that means we are devoid of Dvandva Moham. We are not deluded by duality. We don't have Bheda Buddhi. We don't have Raga Dvesham. And internally, externally, we may have all those, but internally in the mind, we'll always be contemplating on Advitiya Satyam. We will be remembering that everything is Ishvara only. So if we do that, we are able to do that, then the goal that we achieve is also very sacred. It's not antavattu phalam, but the phalam is anandam. So as the fifth chapter of Gita says, sukam akshayam ashnute. A person who goes beyond duality and perceives Ishvara at all times, remembering Ishvara, not letting go of Advitiya Satyam from his mind, such a person will get akshayam sukam. He'll get akshayam sukam. Akshayam means that sukam which doesn't decay. That sukam, that happiness which doesn't get reduced. So akshayam. Kshayam means reducing or decaying. So sukam, happiness. So eternal bliss. Such a person will get eternal bliss. And as Shankara says, nandati, nandati, nandatyeva. So externally, yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinaha yogam or bhogam. Sangam or Sangha Vihinam without Sangam. Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam. But a person who is abiding, who is remembering Ishvara at all times, externally doing Bhogam or Yogam or Sangam or Asangam, it doesn't matter externally, internally, I will remember Ishvara whatever happens. Such a person, Nandati, Nandati, Nandatyeva. Such a person will ever rejoice in bliss. So may Amma bless us so that we are able to choose Shreyo Margam at any point of time in our life. Like we will not even think twice about choosing Shreyo Margam, or like we'll not even think about choosing Prayo Margam. So we'll be choosing Shreyo Margam at all times. So may Amma like bless us with the conviction so that we'll always be able to remember Ishvara Advitiya Satyam, and thereby we'll get moksha in this very birth itself. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskaram.